Isaiah 52 and verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. I was thinking about this verse. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good. I read recently the story of the first man that stood on the moon, astronaut Neil Armstrong. Some years back, he was over in the land of Israel, about 1984 or so. And I was very pleased to read this story about Neil Armstrong. He had a tour guide, a Jewish fellow that was taking him through the land of Israel there. And they came to Jerusalem, and there were some steps, and I've forgotten exactly where, if they were at the ruins of the temple site or exactly where they were. But Neil Armstrong said to the tour guide, is it possible that Jesus walked on these steps? And the tour guide said, well, Jesus walked up and down through this land for 3.5 years. And he was often here in Jerusalem. So yes, I would say it's very likely that Jesus walked on these steps. And Neil Armstrong said to the man, he said, you know, to me this is more exciting to walk on these steps where Jesus walked than that step that I took onto the moon. Well, I don't know that there's any particular significance about that land over there where Jesus walked. But I was glad to read that it appears that astronaut Neil Armstrong loved the Lord Jesus. But I was thinking about the feet of the Lord Jesus, God's Son, walking down here in this world. You realize that the Son of God came down from heaven? God manifest in the flesh came down here and stood on this earth where we're standing here. And he walked for 33.5 years. He walked and lived in this world that you and I live in. And I was thinking about his feet here. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. The Lord Jesus had feet like you and me. He became a man. He took upon him a body. And he walked down here in this world. And so this morning I'd like to take a look at 6 references in the Gospels that refer to the feet of the Lord Jesus and something that happened there at his feet that I think will be good for us. So let's turn to Luke chapter 7. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And I want you to notice that in connection with each of the people that we're going to look at, who did something at the feet of Jesus, that there was always opposition from one direction or another. And yet the opposition did not stop these ones from getting the blessing that the Lord Jesus had for them. Luke chapter 7, and we're going to, in order to get the connection, I'm afraid we're going to have to do quite a bit of reading this morning, though I won't speak very much on each subject. But I'm going to call this first one forgiveness at the feet of Jesus. And let's read from verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had 2 debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Well, this is a woman of the city which was a sinner. And can't every one of us put ourselves in the same category? We are sinners before God. We have sinned against God, perhaps not in the way that this woman had, but every one of us have sinned against God. And you know, of all those important people that were there around the Lord Jesus, having a meal with him, I believe that there was only one there who truly recognized who he was. And that was the woman of the city that was a sinner. And she was the one who found blessing at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And I want you to notice that this woman never said a word. She didn't say anything the whole time. But the Lord Jesus knew her heart. He knew that she had faith in him, and that's why she had come. He knew that she was repentant in her heart, and that's why she wept. And she poured out what she had on the feet of the Lord Jesus and kissed his feet. And there were others there who said, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. But Jesus, God's Son from heaven, knew not only what kind of a person that woman was, he knew what Simon had thought in his heart. And so he speaks and answers Simon's thoughts. Do you know anybody else that can do that? I can't do that. No one here in this room can do that. But the Lord Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He speaks to Simon's heart, and he said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Certain man had two creditors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, frankly forgave them both. And you know, this woman, she was a 500 pence debtor, wasn't she? She was a wicked woman and was known in the city. But you know what? She realized that she had nothing to pay. And that's what Simon didn't realize. He thought that he had something to pay. He could have the Lord Jesus there in his house and that he had something to pay. But, you know, you and I before God, if we're lost and in our sins, we don't have anything to pay. Oh, but thank God it's all been paid for, hasn't it? The Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross and there he paid for my sins so that I could come and receive forgiveness at Jesus' feet, forgiveness of my sins. And so this woman goes away with a blessing. She realizes what she is, and she realizes who Jesus is, and she receives a forgiveness of sins. And others say, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Oh, she knew who he was, God's Son from heaven. He alone had power on earth to forgive sins. No one else does. No one else has power today to forgive your sins, but the Lord Jesus does, and he wants you to find forgiveness at his feet. Even though he's not walking down here in this world, oh, he can still see your thought, see your heart. He knows what's there. And even if you don't say a word out loud, the Lord Jesus will hear your voice if you come to him in your heart as a repentant sinner, as this woman did, and seek for forgiveness at his feet, because we have nothing to pay, but the Lord Jesus has paid for our sins. So this is the first one, forgiveness at the feet of Jesus. Let's go to the next chapter. And we're going to see here deliverance, deliverance from Satan's power at Jesus' feet. Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils or demons long time and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was bound with chains and fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then went they out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found a man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Well, you know, it struck me that in today's society, there are a great number of people that would say that this man was free. Now, that might sound strange, but this is my thought. He was exercising his constitutional right to freedom of expression. He wore no clothes. He ran around in a cemetery. He was free, wasn't he? Now, you say, what foolishness. Of course he wasn't free. But you know, that's the way man is today. He thinks he's free. He has more freedom than he's ever had. Freedom to do his own will. Yes, but he's a slave of Satan, isn't he? He isn't free. This man wasn't free. He could break those fetters that bound him. Man couldn't tie him up. He broke the bands, but he was driven of the devil. Satan had power over this man. He wasn't free. And man today has more freedom than he's ever had, he thinks. Oh, but he's bound by Satan's power. And there's only one way to be free, and that's to find deliverance at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Satan's a hard taskmaster. And we look out on this world, and we see the results of sin and man having his freedom, freedom to do his own will. But it's bondage, it's not liberty. But we find this man, the Lord Jesus casts the demon out, and he's set free. And then we see him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And what do the people think? They were afraid. Man doesn't understand the power of God. Man doesn't understand that true freedom is to be set free from Satan's power to do the will of God. Oh, that's freedom and happiness. You know, I've just recently enjoyed thinking of the three brothers, and not brothers, but the three Jewish men there in front of Nebuchadnezzar the king. And it's such a striking picture. And we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, standing there in front of Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful king that ever lived. And they were slaves. They were captives out of the land of Israel. But I ask you this question, of those two people, of those two classes that we have there, Nebuchadnezzar and those three captives, who was free? It was the three captives, wasn't it? They could speak to that monarch without any fear. God had set them free from any fear. And they said, "We are not afraid, O king, to answer thee concerning this matter. God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand." How could they say that? Because they were free. They've been set free to do the will of God. And they were the ones that were free there. Not the king. He was still a slave of Satan. And they were free. And they knew that God would deliver them out of Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't touch them. Oh, he might touch their bodies. They said he might deliver. We don't know whether he's going to deliver us from the furnace, but he will deliver us from thine hand. And so those men, they're free. And Nebuchadnezzar casts them into the fire, but the fire just burns the bonds that hold them. And they have the liberty there to walk with the Son of God. That's true freedom. To walk in fellowship with God's beloved Son. That's what real freedom is. And that's what this man found at the feet of Jesus, sitting clothed and in his right mind. But the other people are afraid. Oh, man is always at enmity with the will of God. He would prefer a raving lunatic like this man was to a man who would sit at Jesus' feet, free from Satan's power. Oh, this world is deceived. But, you know, if you're under Satan's power this morning, the Lord Jesus can set you free and give you true liberty in your heart. Liberty to walk in fellowship with the Son of God. Liberty to enjoy His company. Others won't understand, but you will. You will have that blessing in your own soul. And so this man here finds deliverance at the feet of Jesus. We're going to have to hurry along here. The next one I'd like to call I think I'd like to call it help at the feet of Jesus. Let's turn to Mark chapter 7 and verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. I just encourage you to read this account in all three Gospels where it's mentioned, because you get a little bit extra in each one. We find that the disciples said in another Gospel, I believe it's Matthew 15, they said, Send her away, for she crieth after us. They wanted to discourage this woman. She was a Greek. She had no rights to the blessings of the Son of God here in this world because of her nationality. But did she get the blessing? She did, didn't she? She found it at Jesus' feet. She found help at the feet of Jesus for her daughter. Are you concerned about your children? I am. I worry sometimes about my children. But you know, for parents, there's help at the feet of Jesus. Oh, He knows all that we're going through. He knows the world that we live in. He knows Satan's power, and He's by our side to help us. And He might test our faith. You know, this woman was tested. The Lord Jesus didn't do what she said right away. In fact, He gave her a very hard test. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. She didn't have any rights. And you know, we don't have any rights either. But God is pleased to bless us. Because He loves us, He has something to give us. He has help. He has encouragement. He has blessing for ourselves and for our children too. And so this woman finds what she came for. She finds at the feet of Jesus that help that she needed so desperately. Her daughter was under Satan's power. And in another gospel, I enjoyed it. She just said, Lord, help me. And those are just three little words. How often have we cried those words out in our hearts? Lord, help me. And the Lord Jesus did not turn a deaf ear. And there were those that came in to hinder, as we've seen in the previous case. The woman that was a sinner, there were many that found fault for her being there. And the man that was found at the feet of Jesus, those that came, they were afraid. Oh, they wondered how that could be. And here we find, not in this gospel, in another gospel, we find the disciples besought the Lord to send her away. And you will find those things that hinder you from coming to the feet of Jesus. Oh, but I hope that you come anyway. Because the Lord Jesus wants you there. Others may not, but Jesus does. And He wants to bless you. He wants to give you help, whether it be for your children or for yourselves in your life. Now, the next one
will be found in Luke chapter 10. Please turn the tape over at this time.
Now it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Well, maybe we could call this instruction or learning at the feet of Jesus. I remember our late brother Ernie Wakefield told a story, and I don't remember the brother actually that said these words, but it was something to this effect. It was a prominent brother. A young person came to him and said, Brother, what seminary would you recommend that I go to? I I would really like to learn more about the Bible and about Jesus. And this brother, in his wisdom, answered this young person. He said, well, I would recommend the Mary Institute. And the brother said, really, I never heard of that. Where would I find that? And so he turned to this chapter and he read her, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Well, that's where we're going to get learning, isn't it? An instruction in the word of God at the feet of Jesus. There's many other places perhaps that we might seek for instruction, but this is where we'll learn. Truly learn God's thoughts in God's way at Jesus' feet. And oh, it might be in the privacy of our home with the Word of God open before us. It might be as gathered around the person of the Lord Jesus to read His Word with our brethren. But in either case, it must be at the feet of Jesus. To be instructed by the Lord Himself, to hear His voice speaking to us. Because isn't that what this book is? We call it the Word of God. The Lord Jesus is speaking to us. He wants to speak to our heart. He wants to speak to our conscience. He wants to teach us wonderful things about Himself if we've got an ear to hear it. You know, I hope as we open this Word, I hope we open it every day. And when we do, we sit down at His feet and listen to what He has to say to us. And you know, we're going to find that there's hindrances. The telephone's going to ring. The kids are going to knock at the door of the bedroom. Or there's going to be, somebody's going to knock at the door. There's going to be a distraction. Here we find that Martha complained. Carest thou not, my sister hath left me to serve alone? That was a hard thing to take. Somebody criticizing Mary says, you've abandoned the service to go sit at Jesus' feet. We don't like being criticized. It's a painful thing. But Mary got the blessing, didn't she? The Lord was pleased. She had the Lord's approval for what she did. Is that sufficient for us, brethren? Oh, it's nice when our brethren approve of us. We like that. But I trust that the foremost thought in our soul is to please the Lord Jesus, that that's what we want above all else. And so I just pray that there won't be anything that we will allow in our lives to hinder us from sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing His words from His own lips. And oh, I know it's by faith, the Lord Jesus. We don't know Him after the flesh now. He's on high in the glory. And yet He still speaks to us. He's given us His precious word. The full revelation of the mind of God is found in this book. And you know those two on the road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. You know, we have that same privilege. To sit at His feet, to hear His word from Himself, we have the whole thing here. There's nothing left out. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. And the Lord Jesus wants to share them with us. He wants to tell us His inmost thoughts. He wants to share His secrets with us. Oh, that we have an ear to hear it and take time to sit at Jesus' feet. Well, the next two kind of go together. Luke chapter 17, the next two I'm thinking of are thanksgiving and worship. And shouldn't those things characterize those of us that have been forgiven of all of our sins, delivered from Satan's power, found help at the feet of Jesus, and listened to His voice speaking to us through His words, shouldn't there be thanksgiving and worship come from our hearts in response to Himself? Luke chapter 17. In verse 11, and it came to pass as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, there were 10 clans, weren't there? 9 of them went on their way. 1 of them turned back. I bet that was a hard thing for that man to turn around. When he looked around and he saw he was cleansed, and I'm sure he saw that the others were cleansed, and that astounding fact dawned on his soul that the Lord Jesus has taken away my leprosy. I'm clean. And he looks at himself and he looks at the others. And maybe he turned around and looked back and nobody else was turning around. They were all going on the way. It's easy to go with the crowd, you know. But this man didn't do that. His heart was full of thanksgiving. And with a loud voice, he glorifies God and he falls down at Jesus' feet and gives him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Don't we see that theme going throughout here? We are not worthy. Woman of the city was a sinner. She was an outcast. Though that man that was bound with chains and broke them, he was demon-possessed. The woman that found help was a Syrophoenician by nation. She had no rights. And here we find one who's a Samaritan, but he's found at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Oh, God has blessed us. We don't deserve it. You know, that's what grace is, isn't it? Unmerited favor. We receive from the hand of God that which we do not deserve. But oh, can't we thank and praise Him for it? Oh, I trust that we're found on Lord's Day morning around the Lord Jesus to thank and praise Him for what He's done. And as we look around, we might say, well, there's not very many here this morning. Last Lord's Day, I broke bread in Pensacola, Florida. And there were only 6 of us there, remembering the Lord and His death. But I believe the Lord Jesus was there. And I felt as though we gave Him thanks that morning that we were at His feet. And isn't that a suited place for those who have been saved by grace and delivered from Satan's power? Should we not be found at Jesus' feet giving Him thanks as this man was? Let's turn to John chapter 12 for the last one. We'll start with verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, then Seth, one of His disciples, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had to bag and bear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Oh, I think Mary had a high privilege here. And you know, this is the same lady that sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. And here we find her sitting at Jesus' feet. She doesn't say a word again. She is silent. And yet the house is filled with the odor of the ointment. And oh, on Lord's Day morning when we come together, you know, not every one of us speaks. The sisters are silent. Sometimes many of us brothers are silent. And yet, is there that flowing forth from our hearts that we could say was worship to the Lord Jesus? Oh, I do trust it so. Why did Mary do this? Oh, I believe that she, of all people, was intelligent as to what the Lord Jesus was about to do. He was to go to Calvary's cross and suffer and die. And you know, she had only that opportunity and not another, to pour out that ointment upon the feet of the Lord Jesus. And you know, there are things in heaven that we will not be privileged to do that we can do while still here on this earth. In the day of His rejection, we are privileged to gather around Himself to remember Him in His death, to worship Him, to praise Him, to thank Him for all that He's done for us. Do we have that alabaster box of ointment, very costly, that which has been stored up, to be poured out at the feet of the Lord Jesus? Oh, I trust it so with us. Should there not be a response from us? Oh, Mary knew how much she had been forgiven. She knew that she had been delivered from Satan's power, and she knew that she owed everything to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, "Me ye have not always." And I've just thought about that in connection with that which we can do here on earth in the day of His rejection. To honor, to praise, to worship Him. Yes, we'll worship Him in heaven, but you know that will be the day of His power. That will be the day when He reigns over all. This is the day of His rejection here. And He has said, "This do in remembrance of Me." Oh, I hope we don't pass up any opportunity to take advantage of the privilege of remembering the Lord Jesus in His death, of worshiping Him in His presence, at His feet, as we here find Mary doing. Well, our time is gone, but I think we can value these times at the feet of Jesus. And oh, it's possible for ourselves, though, the Lord Jesus no longer walks here in this world. And it doesn't matter even if we go over to Jerusalem and walk on those steps there. Jesus isn't here anymore. He's at God's right hand. And yet, with our eyes of faith, we can see Him and we can come to Him. We can be at His feet for all of these six things of which we have just spoken. And I trust it'll be so on our weekend here together, that we will be found at Jesus' feet, listening to His voice and hearing His word. And that there might be thanksgiving and worship from our hearts to Himself for all that He's done and all that He is.